The Nonprofits is made possible by volunteers and the generous support of listeners like you. If the promotion of positive atheist culture and separation of church and state are values you hold, please consider contributing by becoming an ACA member or visiting our product page at evolvefish.com under the Partner tab. Thank you. And this is the Nonprofits. You have the right for Dennis LeBay, Jeff D., and Russell Glasser to come to you live from the Austin Free Thought Library on the 4th of October, 2017. You have the right for the Atheist Community of Austin, a nonprofit educational organization for the promotion of positive atheism and the separation of church and state, to be the sponsors of the Nonprofits. If you choose to ascertain your rights in this matter, you may call the ACA voicemail at 512-220-6561 or visit their website at www.atheist-community.org. You have the right to know the Nonprofits broadcasts live every first and third Wednesday of each month from 7:30 to 9 Central Time, and that you can join the Nonprofits chat room by following the directions at www.nonprofitsradio.com. You have the right to sit back and enjoy the show. Do you understand these rights as I've been read to you?
Uh-huh. It's a fair cop.
I want a lawyer present. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Everybody have a good 2 weeks or whatever
yeah.
we have?
Yes.
Two weeks, yeah. 2 weeks.
Yes. I believe we had the Bat Cruise in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
I believe you talked about the Bat Cruise last
well,
time.
Well, then no, we didn't have the Bat Cruise in the last 2 weeks.
In the last 2 weeks. You had right. Hey, you had it in a okay. previous week.
Never mind.
Really?
What did happen these 2 weeks? I mean, besides the obvious but, news stuff.
Yeah, there's some pretty besides obvious news. News issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're not going to talk about it. Binky struck again.
Yep.
God damn okay, it, that Binky is everywhere.
I hate that guy.
So TD in California says, I got a good chuckle out of the most recent shit internet apologist say the reserve chaplain. He made it. You remember that one?
Yeah.
I know we have a spare chaplain around here somewhere.
He got to do my Full Metal Jacket voice.
I loved his little disclaimer in there.
Mm-hmm.
He made it clear that the Constitution is not biblically sound, which is funny because so many American Christian apologists make the claim that the Constitution is a product of God or Jesus or biblical thinking or Judeo-Christian values or whatever.
We're a Christian nation, right?
Jesus Christ, Christians, make up your minds. Thank you, TD.
Good luck.
I had a neighbor when I was a little kid. Did I mention this before? I hope I haven't because
I assume you had a neighbor because I must you had
kid,
a home location.
There was this kid next door that I would we would play together when we were little kids.
Right.
And he went by TD.
Okay.
No, to this day I don't know what it stands for.
Right.
All right. So there.
So there.
Right. Straight out of the box with a listener mail.
Yeah.
Cool. And a story that didn't go anywhere. Right.
Well, it's it is.
So
it
you
is,
had a
it
neighbor.
It is actual irony. No, we're done with that. That's not the story. The story is the listener mail.
Yes.
Okay.
It went somewhere. People listen to us and enjoy our stuff.
Name, that's the true. Listener signed his letter TD.
Oh, that's the, okay.
If you'd been
there's
paying attention,
there's
you'd have
connection.
Understood all along.
Okay. I get it. I get the picture.
And you know what? I think I did mention that last time that you wrote in. So,
we're all guilty
sorry,
of not
to,
paying attention
I
sometimes.
I don't mean to come off like a stalker, DD, or anything. There's no. there's not a thing. Okay, so.
So.
Anything happen in atheism-related news.
Atheism-related couple of weeks.
No.
I mean,
we don't really know about a thing that's developing in the news what the deal is going to be yet, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So we'll talk about that in a future episode.
We don't know what Binky's opinions were about things.
The thing Binky did in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Whatever.
So this story was submitted by Zach Coleman on Facebook, and he wanted us to know that in the Louisiana school district, they've ordered all students to stand for the national anthem.
Oh.
Now, I mean, this is kind of part of an ongoing political thing in the entire right. country with the regular football leagues out there, which yeah. I think none of us really pay that much attention to, the football parts, not the political parts.
Right.
It takes on a little bit of an extra angle just because in this case it's coercion of kids doing something that I think they may right. not necessarily want to be there for anyway.
Right.
I remember a lot of like mandatory pep rallies and stuff when I was in high school.
And
did you bring the pep as required by your school district?
No, I emphatically did not.
Behold my lack of peps.
Yeah. I have no peps to give.
But forcing kids to attest to a god?
Right. Well, I haven't read beyond the headline yet.
What do you think the odds are that the Louisiana school district is requiring kids to stand for the pledge, except for the bit where God is mentioned, that you can do whatever you want? What do you think the odds are?
It's the national anthem, not the pledge.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, the ongoing political thing.
See, now, if
I'd
been paying attention
this...
since the beginning, I would have understood that all along.
Jeez, it's like an epidemic with us. Anyway,
go ahead.
Were we talking about? I wasn't paying attention.
The anthem.
Yes.
Anthem.
Anthem. So they play the anthem.
Well, the story at the top mentions the hashtag take a knee, which is this thing that some players have been doing where they are basically, instead of standing up for the national anthem and putting their hands over their hearts, or do you do that at the national anthem?
Sure.
Some people do.
But they've been kneeling out of protest for racism stuff.
Yeah.
And the president in particular doesn't like that. And apparently high school, and this is on my mind having a high school age kid, high school kids start to get especially opinionated and interested in doing stuff that makes them stand out, which is great. I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a Louisiana school district is requiring all students to stand during the national anthem when it's played at sporting events or during an extracurricular activity.
This might be worth pointing out that God Bless America is not the national anthem.
Right. I knew that.
Okay. I just did a search.
The national anthem is that Rockets Red Glare stuff.
Right.
Which actually does have some God stuff, like a couple of verses in, but
nobody gets there. Yeah.
Are they gonna require that it be that the anthem be played to that point, and that everybody, all the kids, sing along until that point?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Just checking.
I mean, also while we're on the subject. A notable fact that I'm aware of because I was in a chorus. The national anthem is a really weird song musically because it's often intended to be sung by one person, and it has very, very high notes and very, very low notes, and it requires a non-human
range
for most people. Bossier Parish Schools has 34 elementary, middle, and high schools and one alternative school, the district said. It's the entire district. The letter sent to parents said, freedom is not free. Each day, the men and women at Barksdale Air Force Base and in other branches of the military in Bossier Parish and throughout the nation don a uniform and put their lives at risk as they proudly serve and protect us with honor. The least bossier schools can do is expect our student athletes to stand in solidarity when the national anthem is played at sporting events in honor of those sacrifices.
So what? You have to stand because the Air Force?
Teenagers what have to stand to
that
honor.
That has nothing to do.
Ring, ring.
Bullshit.
Ring, ring.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Hello.
This is a Pat Robertson.
Oh, good! I'm sure you have something great to say.
It's been a while since I've appeared on your radio show, Graham, and just wanted to chime in with my 20 shekels of opinion about this issue. Violence in the streets, ladies and gentlemen, why is it happening? The fact that we have disrespect for authority, there's profound disrespect for our president all across the nation. They say terrible things about him, and it's in the news, it's in other places. There's disrespect now for our national anthem, disrespect for our veterans, disrespect for that Air Force base you mentioned there just a second ago, disrespect for the institutions of our government, disrespect for the court system, all the way up and down the line, disrespect.
I want our listening audience to know that Pat Robertson is reading a real prepared statement that he has.
That's right. This is I'm actually reading a quote from myself, which appeared on Right Wing Watch.
What do you think about that site, Pat?
They watch my show, and so I have to count them among my friends. Until there is biblical authority, there has to be some controlling authority in our society, and there is none. And when there is no vision of God, the people run amok, and we have taken from the American people the vision of God, the whole idea of reward and punishment and ultimate judge of all our actions. We've taken that away, and when there is no vision of God, the people run amok. So what do you think about that?
I think that's bullshit.
Well, yeah.
Now, are you running amok on me?
Yes.
You're running amok. Disrespect for me?
Well.
Disrespect for the elderly and mentally disabled?
And.
Wait a minute.
I've learned that this is how I can be. I can expect to be treated on your program, and you three fellas have just been just a demonstration of the disrespect I'm talking about ever since that day when you brought this radio program back.
We want the country to do better.
As do I, and I believe the solution to that is our Lord Jesus Christ. All right.
And disrespecting those who don't believe in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Back up. Right. What is he blaming for? What is he blaming disrespect for causing?
Everything that does not lead to more money in my collection plate.
Yes. Mm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Did I say that out loud? Sounded better in my head.
I'm sorry.
This is about Binky on Las Vegas,
Well, that's one of many things going on. Binky, as far as we know, may have been a God-fearing Christian or become one in those last few seconds while the police were battering down the door. How do we know?
He could conceivably be in heaven right now.
That's right. Yes, he could.
Yeah.
Yes, he could.
Could be,
and deserve it. All right. Well, I'm gonna hang up here because I've got nothing more to contribute to your horrible little show.
Always great to have your horrible little contributions.
Click. Yes.
Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, that happened.
Right.
Pat Robertson always weighs in on.
Well, not always.
Well, not here. Although, you know who we don't get to talk to a lot lately is the Pope.
The Pope.
Pope Francis.
True.
I don't know. He's been awfully silent about this.
Don't taunt him.
The thing is, like, the amount of news he generated is so small scale compared to,
the
I mean. Yeah,
you're
like
saying the Pope has like dwindled away to insignificance.
It's hard to muster a lot of outrage over the Pope when there are so many more outrageous things happening in the world lately.
Yeah, but we got to try.
Sure,
because
we owe
there's
it
still
to
this
people.
Organization of pedophiles. So yes, it's like,
that's right.
Okay. So I interrupted your news. Well, I'm sorry. Pat Robertson interrupted your news story.
Damn it, Pat.
And he's gone now. He's gone. And I'm going to look into changing our number.
Yeah. So this letter from the superintendent of schools, Superintendent Chalmers. It is a choice for students to participate in extracurricular activities, not a right, the letter said. Now, that's a weird thing to say as the superintendent of public schools.
As far as I know, the only thing you need to participate in extracurricular activities is be a student.
Yeah, and also, like, a lot of colleges expect a certain amount of extracurricular participation.
Yeah.
So in a lot of cases, for students, depending on their ambitions, this is not optional. They need to do something. I don't know how often
they play. What side of the issue is this guy on? It sounds like
– Oh, he's the one enforcing this thing. He sent out this letter to tell students.
What does that have to do with we're going to make the kids –
If you are present at some extracurricular activity and they play the national anthem, you must stand. And if the students
that's because extracurricular activities are voluntary and optional.
Yeah,
so when you get there, you have to do this goose stepping. adherence to their strict rules.
Yes.
That's how it works?
Yeah. That's how it works. That pesky
I'd have thought that separation. That when a thing is voluntary and optional, then so are the frickin' rules.
Apparently not.
Huh. Okay.
Well, I mean
I've pointed out that religionists who voluntarily submit themselves to an organization that has rules that then wants to kick them out for not following their rules, right?
Yeah.
That
have the perfect right to do so.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, they really aren't in a position to complain. You don't have to be in that organization then.
Yeah, but you can't be superintendent over over 35 different schools which are provided as a public service and just start setting up your own like non-mandated rules.
Louisiana you can.
Apparently.
You can start.
And you were asking how often they do it? This is Louisiana. Come on, it's all football all the time, 24/7.
Yeah.
Is that true, Louisiana?
I'll bet.
We're going to now get letters from Louisiana.
Yep.
Some guy's going to say, I'm sitting here writing this letter.
Texas.
And in this little 5-minute block of time when I'm writing you this letter, there's no football going on. So it's not 24/7.
Right.
As a person waiting in line for a men's room in the stadium up there with my face paint on, I object to your characterization.
That's right.
Hello, Louisiana.
What will they do to you if you do not stand for the national anthem? What is the penalty?
So it says that the district is leaving the consequences to principals and coaching staff to decide.
So it could be nothing. It could be nothing,
but it's also kind of shitty to the principals and coaching staff because now they're required to
take a side,
be the heavy.
Right.
For this mandatory thing that the superintendent said they have to do. So do they get punished if they don't enforce it?
And if you've got a reasonable school district then that doesn't want to punish the kids, then you put them in the position of getting yelled at by the parents in their school that do want you to do that because now it's been made possible, which you can.
Yeah.
But
thanks, Zach, for making us all mad today.
So we don't know precisely what the punishment would be, but it would fall into the realm of what they're allowed to do for punishments in the first place.
Yeah,
I would imagine suspension. And it's Louisiana, so study hall.
Wow.
Look out the lavatories. I don't know.
All right. So how about a letter?
Okay. Oh, we're done with that?
Yeah.
We think it's wrong.
Yep.
Bill wrote, while I was on... excuse me, I have to do this with a Russian accent. And I don't think I can, so never mind that. Okay. While I was on vacation in St. Petersburg, Russia, I found this Russian edition of the Bible at a Subway sandwich shop and figured it would make a good donation to the ACA library.
It would be useful in capturing moose and squirrels.
This is an email that we received, and we also received the package of the Russian Bible, which I handed to Mark, and I presume he has found a place for it in the ACA library. At the very least, I figured I was doing a good service by making sure some kid didn't find it and start reading it.
Right.
I love the show, though I wish you guys would have Tracy and Jen on more.
Uh-huh. I wish we would, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's absolutely no defense other than inaction for why we aren't doing that.
Yeah.
Believe me, it's on our minds. Fun fact about Mormons in Russia. One of my coworkers, while I worked at the embassy in Moscow, told me he did his Mormon mission in Moscow. None of the religious groups are able to go door to door. They spend a lot of time doing weird things like chalk art, trying to recruit people to their church. But at least they don't bother you at home. Wow. I never saw any Mormons myself the 2 years I was there. Also, the Jehovah's Witnesses were branded a cult and their property and assets were seized while I was there.
Yay!
Well, not necessarily, because that could as... I don't remember the details of that story, but it's as likely that it's that's other denominations going after the Jehovah's Witnesses through the power of the state government.
The state, right.
Though, you know, there's a certain Schadenfreude.
Yes.
I said that wrong.
Schadenfreude? Whatever.
Yeah. Schlitterbahn. There's a certain amount of Schlitterbahn. And... in watching religious organizations.
Nobody outside of Texas right now gets that. Am I right?
That's right.
it's a big water park.
Yeah. Right.
Therefore,
hilarious
in watching
to
religious
us.
Organizations going after each other. The end. So, yeah, we got the Russian. The Russian Bible. I haven't read it. You can guess why.
Duh.
But yay, thank you for that.
Yet.
At This Space for Rent on Twitter said with the hashtag nonprofits news, well, he has linked us to a story about Roy Moore, which.
Oh, boy.
You know,
another
we've gone.
Unpleasant we've, matter.
Yeah. We've gone years without having to hardly notice Roy Moore, and now he's all over the goddamn place, and I hate that.
Like a bad penny. Whatever the hell that means. Yeah.
Claire Kim, writing for MSNBC, wrote, Alabama's Chief Justice offered an unusual interpretation of the United States Constitution in a newly released video.
Right.
Telling a religious organization that the First Amendment only protects Christianity.
He's going to have to duke it out with the military chaplain who was our shit internet apologist say guy.
Aren't they on the same page? Oh, yes.
Right.
Right, because
the Constitution doesn't do any such thing.
Yeah.
Not like it should.
They didn't bring the Quran over on the pilgrim ship, the Mayflower. Chief Justice Roy Moore announced.
That's Roy Moore?
And they didn't write the freaking Constitution.
At the Pastor for Life luncheon, an event hosted in January. That's true. The Mayflower people did not.
Yeah.
An event hosted in January by Pro-Life Mississippi. In a video obtained and released by Raw Story last Friday, Moore told his audience that religion in the First Amendment only applied to the God in the Bible. Let's get real. Let's learn our history. Let's stop playing games, said Moore at the Jackson, Mississippi event.
everybody, to include the United States Supreme Court, has been deceived as to one little word in the First Amendment called religion.
When you read that, you got to go throw in a couple of yeehaws and wave your tiny little pistol around.
I don't know. I was more thinking of the judge from My Cousin Vinny. Very staid and also terrifying.
Okay.
They can't define it. Religion, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of true, I got to say. But,
yeah. They're supposed to not define it. It's not a question of can't.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't if they wanted to, I think, because it
didn't.
Yeah.
Isn't it a lot of the people who wrote the Constitution, weren't they like not Christian evangelicals, but like.
Right.
What is the.
Deists.
Deists. Right. Thank you.
I mean, the Supreme Court does define what the Constitution means by religion over time. It's just not a definition that fits on a small corner of the dictionary. It is like religion in the United States is legally defined by their past rulings. It's all precedent stuff over time, sort of creates a model of what religion is and isn't according to the law.
Yeah, but Judge Rory Moore does not understand the law.
Yeah, but Rory, well.
Well, yeah, in that sense.
Roy Moore says that the Supreme Court doesn't understand the law, which is kind of an oxymoron in a way. What?
Nothing. yeah.
So he says that we've been deceived, that the Supreme Court has been deceived by the word religion. They can't define it one way. They can't define it the way Mason, Madison, and even the United States Supreme Court defined it. Quote, the duties we owe to the Creator and the matter and the manner of discharging it. Where does that come from?
Muslims believe in a Creator, dumbass. Does that mean that the Constitution is talking about the Islamic God?
Well, I think Roy Moore would say that because they're talking about the Creator and not a fake Creator.
Yeah. You know. No,
so,
dude.
So
no,
Islam is not exactly a religion. Cool.
That's
awesome.
It's just bigotry on parade.
There was a Declaration of Rights in Virginia that predated the Constitution and served as sort of a model for it. And that's where this I Googled this phrase, and that's what I seem to have come up with.
Yeah. I want these people to do that do this crap, I want to ask them, what denomination specifically is the one true denomination?
I don't know, but I would
love to watch you alienate everyone else.
Yes, I'm sure it's Roy Moore's definition. Buddha didn't create us. Muhammad didn't create us. Wow, this guy's
super. How about Catholics? Did they create us?
Neither Buddha or Muhammad are the creator entities of their respective religions.
Yeah, I know.
So, we have listener mail about a creator entity.
Yeah.
By the way,
Susan Watson, the executive director of Alabama's ACLU chapter. Wow, does she have a rough job? Yeah. I bet. Said in a statement last week, Chief Roy Moore is sorely misguided in his belief that the First Amendment of the Constitution only applies to Christians. It applies to everyone, regardless of his or her religious belief or non-belief. Thanks, ACLU. All right, we can leave it there.
Roy Moore won the Republican nomination for is it a Senate seat? Or is it a House seat?
I think it was State Senate.
What? No, dude.
What?
You're out of your, I believe you're.
Oh, is he going to be an honest to goodness senator?
Well, there's still an election to be had.
Yeah, but it's Alabama and he's the Republican. Who do you think's going to win?
Right.
He's not on his way yet. It's like saying, are those astronauts sitting in the capsule on their way to the moon?
Yes, well, Moore is the Republican nominee in the 2017 special election to fill Jeff Sessions' seat. I mean, to mitigate the problem here, he's just going to replace Jeff Sessions, so it's barely going to make a difference.
You're right. Just one tick worse, but okay.
Yeah, but he's still going to be a gross, creepy influence on the Senate.
That's Senate. Wow.
Yeah.
Remember when the Senate used to be the place where all of our, like...
intellectuals ended up?
Well, the more serious politicians.
Jefferson said something like, that's where, like, things go to percolate or some $10 word.
Not anymore.
Like
all right. Well, yeah, we're going to be stuck with him and hearing a lot more of him over the next few years. Camille says, just a minor nitpick. In your last episode, you said that Saturn is the Roman version of Zeus. That's not the case. The Roman version of Zeus is Jupiter. Yes, and I should have freaking known that.
Mm-hmm.
My mistake.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek version of Saturn is, confusingly enough, Uranus, who is usually taken to be Zeus's grandfather.
Right.
And then there's this paragraph. You know what? I'm not going to read it. It just goes into the some bits about... the mythology and what was supposed to be going on with the various sex organs and things in the myths. And I'm just going to skip it. Thank you, Camille. Yes, we made a mistake.
Yes.
I made a mistake. I think that was me.
We must correct.
On to something
we didn't call you on
talk
it,
a little
so
more about.
We are guilty by omission.
That's right.
Yes.
As was stated in a previous letter, whenever I make a mistake, it's your fault. David writes, if a god is defined as something that is worshipped,
I'm not going with that definition either.
But go ahead.
But
go
he
ahead.
Goes
keep
if.
Going.
He goes
yeah,
if right
if right.
Was God, and there are, of course, we don't go with this, but there are Christians who will say, well, of course, you have a religion, you worship X or Y or Z,
right,
and just not my God, right? So they're trying to say that we're deifying some other thing.
Yeah.
So he's criticizing not your stance, Russell, but a common
stance
thing
of Christians
say.
Yeah.
Then was God actually a god prior to creating humans?
Oh, good point. Mm.
If you're not worshipped, what are you?
Yeah, it's a pre-god. Would that imply that God selfishly wanted to be a god by this act of creation? Well, you know, that's what humans are accused of whenever we create anything cool. Wanting to be gods.
Yeah, you want
playing God.
Playing God. Yes.
So, yeah. Well, that's unfortunately, I think the best answer to that is that's why that's not what the definition is.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there is a really clear, solid definition in general, because there just ain't. People mean different kinds of things.
Yeah.
When they throw that word around. I did two little listener mails.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's your turn.
Martin Flores, our loyal follower on the nonprofit's official discussion group on Facebook, passed along this story, which there is the story, and then I also have an immediate follow-up that I looked up. According to Pink News, which is not an entirely unbiased source, but the United States just voted against banning the death penalty for gay people. The United Nations Human Rights Council voted to condemn the imposition of the death penalty for homosexuality, which is a thing they do in a lot of countries. Of the 47 countries on the Human Rights Council, 27 countries voted in favor of
banning this.
Banning this death penalty. Yep. Uh-huh. 13 states voted against, including Botswana, Burundi, Egypt, Ethiopia, China, Saudi Arabia, and the United States.
Right. I got the impression there was other stuff included in that.
Could be.
That made it.
I have my follow-up here, which is
not
that...
not as clean cut as it sounds.
Russell has a follow-up that's a clarification.
Following an outcry from LGBTQ rights advocates, the U.S. Department of State clarified its no vote. The resolution titled The Question of the Death Penalty passed the UN Human Rights Council with 27 nations in favor, 13 against. The multi-page resolution condemned the imposition of the death penalty when applied arbitrarily or in a discriminatory manner. Oh, well, that explains everything. The U.S. doesn't want to stop that.
Right. We want to be discriminatory.
In a press briefing on Tuesday, State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert explained why the U.S. voted against this resolution.
Yeah.
We voted against that resolution because of broader concerns with the resolution's approach in condemning the death penalty in all circumstances.
Well,
I'm just going to read that again. Applied arbitrarily or in a discriminatory manner.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm going to try.
All right, try.
To salvage some kind of dignity out of this. Okay, so we still have states where there's a death penalty, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The death penalty is not...
we're living in one.
Right. So it would create issues in this nation if we went to the UN and supported... getting rid of that,
right?
It would mean immediately we'd have a crisis of having to deal with that.
The state's rights on that.
Right. And I totally know what side I am on this, right?
Sure.
I'm not a supporter of the death penalty, but sometimes politics there's more than just the ethical issue directly in front of you.
Right.
And also, you know, Russell, you read back, applied in a discriminatory or arbitrary fashion.
Uh-huh.
Well, does that need to have somebody who decides what's discriminatory and arbitrary?
I mean, and that's what legal things are about.
Does the UN... there, different countries have different attitudes about how much authority authority is not the word, because the United Nations can't really make anybody do anything. So, but to pass a thing like that implies that then there needs to be some body that makes those decisions, and
right.
It raises a whole question about who is going to be on that body, and would they even – would they go too far? Would they not go far enough? It leaves a bunch of questions on the table. Arguably, those are some possible reasons for refraining that don't have anything to do with an official statement that we think killing people arbitrarily is awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not doing anything about anything because it's hard.
Well, you're not doing anything now in that case because it's hard. Mm-hmm. Now, I totally don't trust my own government at this time.
Right.
Right. And the people being put in positions of authority within this administration. So I'm certainly not saying there's nothing to be concerned about.
Right.
I am trying desperately to Wow, what am I trying to do? Hmm. I see in politics in general in this country, things have gotten so bad that people are really wanting to see immediate change on everything.
Yeah.
And not not taking any not being willing to negotiate or compromise at all on certain things. And it's happening on both sides.
Yeah.
And of course there's the side I agree with.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You object. Go ahead.
All right. I don't entirely disagree that it has become like that it is something that more and more both sides will exhibit. Okay. But I think that phrasing it that way implies, and this probably wasn't your intent, but it implies equal responsibility on both sides.
No. I don't mean that.
Okay, then I want to make sure to clarify that because that
okay
because
yeah,
it
no,
sounds
no
like
no
that.
No no good grief no, but there are people who I agree with in everything other than tactics.
Uh huh.
And while in general my attitude about tactics is. To do whatever you think that sounds like a good tactic to you, because it's more important that things get done than that they all be done according to some one monolithic plan. However, wow, you know what? And that should stop me right there. So okay, folks, I'll just leave that out there. Sometimes a thing that looks bad isn't as bad as it looks.
Right. Sure.
This may well be one of the times where it is exactly as bad as it looks. I don't know. Right.
Right.
But that's why nuance and detail is important.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, part of the reason I'm objecting is
objecting?
Yes.
I thought I clarified that no, I didn't mean that thing that you thought I might
Yeah, you
not,
did
not mean.
You did clarify and I appreciate that, but I feel like there are still points that need to be made about that.
Okay. Please.
And so understand I'm not criticizing your intent in having said that.
Okay.
I'm just cautioning our listeners.
About taking us too seriously.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
I've been doing a lot of talks about, like, on the topic of fake news lately. And I think that fake news is a term that gets slung around a lot. But I think that its initial usage last year was totally justified because a lot of people were being informed by like –
Russians.
Organizations that were masquerading as journalism outlets, and that was before our new president started using that to apply to everything that he doesn't like the content of.
Right.
And like the issue of – so Nate Silver wrote an article recently where he was highlighting the fact that – in their effort to be fair to all sides concerned, the media often bends over backwards to try to come up with a motivation for the latest thing that Trump has tweeted or the latest thing that he comes up with that he just blurts out off the top of his head and attribute some grand master strategy to him.
Right.
When, I mean, I think the real thing is he's a guy who has very little impulse control and says things that would have been way, way beyond the pale like 10 years ago in American politics. And I think it's admirable in general to try to understand what other people are doing, but in our current political climate, just observing that both sides won't take each other seriously doesn't give enough credence to the fact that one side is doing things that are absolutely outrageous and uninformed constantly. That's all I want to say.
Wow, and that was in response to what I said?
Just the phrase both sides is a bit of a trigger.
Oh, good grief. All right. My reason for referencing the both sides thing is because, A, we're largely talking to people on one side, the same side as us, right?
Yeah.
We're not a show that caters to other kinds of people, and we're not outreach to those people the way the atheist experience is. And I have friends who have a knee-jerk reaction to anything that smells bad on the surface when, in fact, our previous president got a lot of flack for some things that he did and continues to get flack. And that flack is appealing to people who just want the one perfect, right, true, just way of doing things all the time, right? That's right. They want good things only. And that then functions as a hook that people who want to manipulate you can easily use by bringing up, oh, wow, their president did a deal where he didn't solve this problem. Now we'll spin that to your president is like an evil guy that was trying to do bad things to you on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's why I think – that's why I advise people in general to look closer before forming an opinion. Right. And so when all we've got is – there was a vote on this issue, and here's the way we voted. And here's a rather poorly worded response, but which kind of referenced there was other stuff going on than just that.
Yeah,
actually could be true.
Yeah, there are realities and practicalities that we're unaware of.
Yeah. Which is no reason to not engage. Right. It just makes, when you engage, be a little bit more responsible with how you do it. But if you don't want to, fine. Don't be responsible. Go out and just scream and yell because I'm not talking about you, Russell. Yeah. I'm talking to the people I know who are just knee jerk reactionaries. Fine, go be knee jerk reactionaries. That's useful too.
Yep.
Hey, and you're right. I know those people too, and they irritate me also.
Okay. I don't think that's quite the level to which I was saying it, but okay.
Well,
all right.
Next.
So we did news. So it's me. Walter writes, in a recent show, y'all had some difficulties with the concept of infinities, which is indeed confusing. Russell was right when he said the real numbers are a larger infinity than the integers. However, he slipped into a computer programmer trap when he equated the decimal numbers with the real numbers. Many computer languages type these as real, but in fact, they are countable.
No shit.
Okay. So
I mean, computer floating point or decimal operations are only an approximation of precision.
Right.
But the mathematical concept of real numbers, allegedly, I'd always heard until the last episode, the Platonic ideal of
the real numbers.
I know very well that random numbers in computers are pseudo-random.
Right.
I know that. Nothing computers do is a perfect model of the equivalent thing happening in the real world.
Okay, so
I'm not sure I made that mistake.
Yeah, Walter goes on. So I don't know what article you were discussing, but there are indeed different sized infinities in the world of mathematics. Well, Walter,
yes.
One place that I found this story was on the Scientific American website, dated September 16, and I'll just read a short snippet. In a breakthrough that disproves decades of conventional wisdom, two mathematicians have shown that two different variants of infinity are actually the same size. The advance touches advance touches on one of the most famous and intractable problems in mathematics, whether there exist infinities between the infinite size of the natural numbers and the larger infinite size of the real numbers. The problem was first identified over a century ago. At the time, mathematicians knew that the real numbers are bigger than the natural numbers, but not how much bigger. Is it the next biggest size, or is there a size in between? Said Marianth Maliaris of the University of Chicago, co-author of the new work, along with Saharan Sheila of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem and Rutgers University. In their new work, Maliaris and Sheila resolve a related 70-year-old question about whether one infinity, call it P, is smaller than another infinity, call it T. They proved the two are in fact equal, much to the surprise of mathematicians. Quote, it was certainly my opinion and the general opinion that P should be less than T, Sheila said. Maliaris and Sheila published their proof last year in the Journal of the American Mathematical Society and were honored this past July with one of the top prizes in the field of set theory. But their work has ramifications far beyond the specific question of how those two infinities are related. It opens an unexpected link between the sizes of infinite sets and a parallel effort to map the complexity of mathematical theories. And
wow.
Stopping cool. there because it immediately gets into math that is way beyond me. But Walter, sounds like you know more about this stuff than I do. But there you go. Scientific American website published September 16.
I wish I knew. I would like to read this proof, but I mean, I don't feel like I would necessarily be up to the task of evaluating a proof that has eluded mathematicians for nearly a century. So I don't know what to make of it. That's weird.
Yeah. There you go. So it's a thing that people who know more about this stuff than I do are taking seriously. Does that mean they are right? They are confident enough that they're giving out awards and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you.
It's bad that guys are going to be beat up because people will discover that their infinity is not bigger than the other guy's infinity.
Okay. So, back to you, sir. Wait a minute. Is it not time for some things? Maybe we could do Dennis's thing.
Do you have a thing?
Dennis, do you have a thing?
Do you have a question, Dennis?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good.
I got a question.
Yeah, sure.
What time is it?
How you doing?
Okay. I'll go there. Does the devil work for God?
Does the devil work for God?
Yeah. Is he an employee? He runs the prison? I thought we did this one.
Feels like it, but I'm not sure.
You can't tease the audience though.
No,
we the red hot question
it,
like
now
that.
We gotta go
we'll,
with it.
We'll talk
let's,
about
let's,
it again.
Let's give it
then.
A few minutes.
All right.
So,
there's so many stories where they're trying to one up each other, or one's trying to defeat the other, and yet one clearly works for the other.
So, I've always been suspicious of this arrangement because, you know, this is writings coming out of a, you know, pre-medieval.
Sure.
Yeah, and not only that, where, it's a bunch where, of writings coming out where, of multiple authors at different
well,
times.
That, but, yeah. Okay, yeah, that too. But in the world they lived in, the king could have, like, a jailer or a torturer.
Yeah.
Right? And people could hate the jailer or torturer and love the king.
Right.
Right. But the jailer or torturer works for the king. There's no question. It's not even a thing.
Right.
An enemy is not – in that arrangement, right, an enemy of the king is not a guy that works as part of the legal structure of the kingdom.
Right.
An enemy would be, you know, there's some bandits out there or there's the next country over or something, right?
Yeah. The enemy does not work for the king.
Right. So now, but they also had such a thing as you know, traitors and and rebels within the establishment, right? Sure. So there certainly could be a situation where there's a guy who's against the king and you're supposed to hate him because he's trying to take over.
Yeah, but the thing is, the story is the king hates him too.
But that guy, is never in charge of doing some important task like handling the dead people. Yeah. So on the face of it, it looks like this is just a bullshit distinction made up.
The word Satan, which first appears in Hebrew, actually means enemy or adversary.
Right.
And I think I have heard that a lot of the stories about the devil are not even necessarily intended to be about one person who does everything, but just use like, you know, and this enemy of God did something.
Right.
And in particular, I remember that in the story of Adam and Eve, like there is an assumption that the snake was actually Satan tricking them.
Right.
But it's never referred to as anything but a snake in Genesis.
Yeah, but we have the story that there was a fallen angel, right? There was an angel that rebelled.
Is that in the Bible?
Come from John Milton or Dante?
I don't know. Because is that one of those weird apocrypha things?
That's one of those things that has like some kind of very oblique reference that people have taken and run with.
I mean, Lucifer, light bearer, or something.
I'll just say it seems to me. Let's take it at its face, right?
Is it Catholic canon?
I don't know. Russell, aren't you going to look this up for us?
What are you after?
The question of whether the arrangement is actually described in the way that people think of it nowadays in the Bible.
I feel like it's going to depend a lot on whether we're talking about Old or New Testament because
probably Old Testament.
Yeah, it would have to be old.
I mean, you know, Christians like to say that the New Testament is just a continuation, but it's a bunch of guys writing fan fiction later. Yeah. So the Wikipedia article, which take that as you will, early on says some religious groups teach that he originated as an angel or something of the like who used to possess great piety and beauty but fell because of hubris, seducing humanity into the ways of falsehood and sin.
That would suggest has to be in the Bible somewhere.
Yeah. Now, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the term always used for him is ha-satan, which ha means the. So it's referring to the accuser, which could be a different guy in each story, like I said.
Right.
I don't know where the story is.
Beautifully paranoid view of reality that you know, you take every single opponent that you've had throughout time and then fold them all together into the same
like
dude,
Moriarty.
Or the same villain. Conspiracy,
right?
Yeah. Moriarty only showed up in like the very what was intended to be the one last Sherlock Holmes story, so he could kill the character. Now we've got like every single new incarnation of Sherlock Holmes, like every goddamn thing is Moriarty's masterminding everything. There's no other crime except what Moriarty does. It feels like that kind of thing.
I've noticed that there are not stories about angels like conducting raids on hell to rescue people.
Right. Mm.
Which Hercules is the sort of thing. I'm talking about in Christianity.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of thing you'd expect to see if this was a traditional, it's two camps.
Yeah.
And they're against each other, right? Because the God could just like forgive folks that were in hell, and send angels down to rescue them and like increase his forces.
Right.
Seems like an obvious tactical move, but
they're the bad people who don't belong in heaven.
And it's weird because it's not like, see, what Satan ought to be doing is taking the people that he gets by virtue of whatever the arrangement is, right? Or whatever it is that people fall into his camp, right? And freaking arming and training those people for his essential assault.
He should be teaming up with them, not torturing them. The whole thing doesn't make any sense.
It also seems a battle for souls, right?
Yeah.
And the devil keeps trying to tempt people.
Yeah.
Playing fiddles and whatnot.
Yeah. But guess what?
They're both going for high score, dude.
You know, if the devil's going to do that, and this is a big if the devil has total control over what hell constitutes, then it would be in the devil's best interest to make hell more attractive than heaven.
Right.
Sure.
Why wouldn't you do that? We have hot and cold running bourbon. You know, I mean, pardon me. You'd have so many people signing up.
You'd
have people in heaven clamoring to go to hell.
If Satan were the CEO of heaven and had his own budget and could make his own staff, maybe he'd do that. But what you're asking makes a lot of sense if it turns out that Satan is just running a department and is constrained.
Yeah, and constrained by budget.
Right. Because the alternative explanation is Satan can't do all that stuff because he doesn't have the kind of power that God has.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't have the kind of power that God has, then why is this even a conflict, right?
Yeah.
Why doesn't God just roll his tanks into hell and say, screw it, we've annexed this, you're done?
Well, because he's performing a valuable service.
And see, all this nonsense is why Christianity is such a morass of crazy quarters of weird justifications for things. You get stuff like, oh, God's outside of time. See, that's the excuse for how come he doesn't care whether it's done like now. Hey, you know what? The God may be outside of time. The people being tortured in hell are inside time, and screw you for leaving them there, right?
Yeah,
if it doesn't mean anything to you, F you.
So he's the torturer. He's just God's torturer. He does the dirty work.
I will reference again. I think we just mentioned this last episode, but the book To Reign in Hell by Stephen Brust,
which
is an awesome fictionalized story of this, where it's played as like a tragedy, but made to make sense because it's like a story with characters and stuff and motivations and things. And, just great, great, great fiction.
Yeah. So, just one last thing before we leave, which is that skimming through more of this article on Wikipedia, I get the sense that there isn't anything super conclusive in the New Testament either, which kind of lends credence to the point that maybe either Milton or Dante is responsible for putting it in Christian folklore. But Islam...
Yeah? What do they got?
Which is kind of fan fiction on the fan fiction because they actually reference the other two books as works of previous prophets who were not as good as Muhammad. In Islam, Satan, let's see, what was I just looking at? It does mention that Satan was among the fallen angels who God ordered to bow down to Adam. So it's entirely possible that this bit of Christian myth
is Islamic.
Yeah. That would be funny.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
Oh, boy. Well, maybe somebody with more time on their hands and more access to resources than we have right now could look that up and write us a letter.
Yes, please, because we'd love to be corrected on this one.
Sure. This is. I mean, that was way more interesting than I thought.
Yeah, I know we didn't go there in previous discussions of this. So,
yep.
So thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome.
And now's the time for your thing?
It is actually time for
Shit Internet Apologists Say.
Submitted last week by Mike Whaley on Facebook, and thank you very much for that. We have something. I haven't dived into this real deep yet, so I'm a little nervous about what this is going to wind up as, but the website is called Hellenic News of America, And I don't know what that means, but
Hellenic is a reference to ancient Greece or the Greek peninsula or something?
Oh, there's Greek all over the place on this site.
Okay.
Ew.
All right.
They're advertising their anniversary dinner, Greek note, with Dimitris Basis, and an orchestra.
Do they have an about page?
A boot. What kind? It's just a list of people.
And his studio orchestra.
I mean, it looks like it's a site mainly about Greek Americans.
Okay.
Which seems harmless enough.
Okay.
Grief. Now we got the Greek Americans after us. I read ahead. Go ahead and read the headline thing.
But the title of this is a mouthful, which is Proving the Insanity of Atheism by Facts Physics Has No Foreknowledge, which is a fact.
Wow. Okay, well.
Is it translated from the Greek?
I don't know.
Man.
Well, let's just dive right in.
Dive right into the crazy.
So physics could have never known in advance that man's body could produce knowledge.
Okay.
Okay.
He began a sentence with odd.
Is that the thing I've heard where the Christians are saying, since we're just chemicals, how can we be sure that the things we think we know are true? Since it's all just chemical reactions.
I don't know. This weekend on the Atheist Experience, somebody said, I have no reason not to eat people.
Did you bring that person to the attention of the authorities?
No, because he made it very clear that he said he, a Christian, has reasons to not eat people.
But there's a whole bunch of Christians who do enjoy eating people.
Well,
Jesus, in particular. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's very tasty.
Man, I wish I'd brought that up now.
Yeah. Somebody should do the math on just exactly how much Jesus has been consumed over time.
How many tons?
And
yes,
how big
tons
that,
of Jesus.
43 billion
Jesus
tons
would
of
be
Jesus.
If you put them all together again.
Per year.
Probably equals the size of the true cross that all the pieces glued together would amount to.
Uh-huh. Ray, did you imagine giant Jesus? I'm sorry. I thought it would be the nicest thing I could think of.
So
yeah.
He began his article with the word
the
so.
Sentence.
Yeah.
Yes.
So blah, blah, blah.
I mean, this could be a guy who's just a native Greek speaker and has weird grammatical structures.
And we're talking Google Translate here is having fun.
All right. By knowledge, we take the proper food to eat, which then by our organs becomes blood. And obviously, we need to live life because life is in the blood.
Whoa. Okay, the first part made sense. Yeah, the food
didn't.
Becomes blood, among other things.
The food we eat gets processed into a lot of different things.
A lot of different things, but blood is one of the things it gets processed into, so that's fine.
But
the last part is just crazy.
Our body no more produces blood than it produces phlegm and spleen and pancreas and lung.
Yeah,
those are all parts of the body.
It's not
actually the case that if you poke a guy, that his body just keeps making and making and making and making blood and will fill up big vats of it. Right? There's a finite amount. It's moving around. But we're not making infinite amounts of it.
Some blood dies and is expelled.
Sure, but that's true of the cells.
Our marrow replaces
That's true of the cells of all kinds of body parts, right?
Yeah,
and the blood is not particularly special.
It's not special, but he thinks it's special.
Yeah, but I mean, I also want to highlight a different part of that sentence, of which this is the second sentence in this article. We have a lot to work with.
I don't think we're going to get very far.
His first thing was that by knowledge, we take the proper food to eat.
So by knowledge, we don't poison ourselves by eating the wrong things.
No, exactly. That's actually right. What he said is false. You don't. Simple example: you go into the forest. There's some mushrooms. Do you eat them? Now, knowledge can help you avoid the poisonous ones.
Right.
Knowledge, I guess, could help you know that certain things are not for eating.
Right. Yeah.
But also, if people that have never been taught anything mm-hmm. will eat stuff that's edible.
Well, right. And not just people. It's all the species on Earth eat food that keeps them alive. That's kind of what living things do.
Yeah, antelopes go to food school. Did you not know?
By antelope knowledge.
I'm willing to cut him that slack.
There is stuff to learn about foods.
Yeah, yeah.
There is. But to the claim that knowledge alone is the basis on which we decide what to eat is nonsense.
I am assuming there's a lot of poetry in this.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you can't let him have that, man.
I know.
Because that's exactly. There's a lot of poetry and all kinds of bullshit.
I know.
Man.
So you know, what's next?
You know those YouTube videos where somebody takes really shitty philosophy and then does it as a beat poem? And
then people think
that he's being really wise?
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I hate those so much. Anyway, that's not this guy. Oh, but, yeah. I mean, this could be beat poetry, daddy-o. By knowledge, we take the proper food to eat, which then by our organs becomes... blood. And obviously we need this to live because life is in the blood. Even if you eat or if the food becomes blood, you are still dead. So
wait,
no, I gotta read this next sentence. So what happened to evolution?
Okay, Daddy-o. I have no way to parse this now. This is crazy.
Okay, so he clearly thinks that because our bodies metabolize, that is a problem for evolution. Right?
Right. Okay. Well, keep going. Keep going. Maybe he will elucidate.
I hope so. God. Go on.
I'm giving him a lot of credit.
Russell?
It's
your turn, man.
Sorry. So what happened to evolution? Who knew in advance that after food becomes blood, you need veins all over your body so the blood can flow throughout your body?
All right. So this guy, this is terrible because, I mean, he's usually attacks on evolution of this kind take the form of, there's some complex system in the body.
Right.
That would have to have sprung up fully formed in order for it to make any sense.
Right.
But he's like, this guy is doing an incredibly crude version of that.
Yes,
where he's going, I mean, the simple answer is, microbes? how about don't start with the most complicated things that do the most, have the most complicated behaviors? How about start with the simplest ones? How about that?
Yeah, and show how the complicated ones can develop from the simple ones.
Behe will also claim that the little microorganisms are very complex, but this guy is just leaping all the way to the most complicated thing he can find.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know how
you don't
long
want to
go
more?
With this.
Can you do it with physics... a Greek accent?
Let's see. Let me channel my big fat Greek wedding for a
minute. Oh, no.
So physics puts the food in your mouth, or your knowledge puts the food in your mouth, ? For food to become blood, you must have different organs working to form it. I have no idea if that's a plausible Greek accent at all.
It sounds to me vaguely Transylvanian. But
yeah, but I mean...
probably because of the word blood. Blood.
Yes. blood. I enjoy the image of physics going, here comes the choo-choo. Open the tunnel. Yes.
Eat food, it becomes blood, and life is in the blood. This is repetitive.
Life is in the
blood. What he means by physics clearly is not what we mean by physics. He means
material world.
The material world
puts food in our mouths
or knowledge. He's he's setting up a dichotomy. There's physics, and then there's knowledge, and those are two unrelated things.
I don't know there.
That's what it sounds like. Because, I mean, that was his last question.
I think he was
or the other.
Our knowledge of physics allows us to feed ourselves. I don't
No, dude. That's, I think.
I'm cutting too much slack.
I think you're cutting too much slack.
All right. I'm skipping to the last paragraph.
Oh,
that's
boy.
What I do.
Wow.
When we're,
okay. Sum up.
All right. When the Holy Spirit came upon his apostles, he came in a different form by speaking languages of the world. Don't tell me that was evolution, too. Thus,
what the hell?
God. Yes, that wasn't evolution. Thank you.
When Spider-Man clings to the side of a building, don't tell me that's evolution.
Or physics.
When the original Human Torch was an android, right? Yeah. When he fires the original Human Torch, the World War II Human Torch, android.
Okay.
He shot fire from his fingertips. Don't tell me that was evolution.
Yeah, no.
That was mechanics. I don't know how he would classify.
But language, there are evolutionary components to language
because
there are structures in our brain that are specifically related to language.
His argument here is because his religion has supernatural stories, mm-hmm. stories right. of magic,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that evolution doesn't account for magic, therefore evolution must be false.
Or veins either.
Veins.
It's a little of both.
Yeah. Wow.
Let's see. Thus, the day of the Pentecost is historic evidence of that. Witnesses 100%, evidence 100%, history 100%. Who can say no?
100% already. It's 100%. It's history 100%.
Oh, jeez.
History, Rick and Morty, 100%. .com.
I don't think that's what that means, Rick.
Physics didn't put that food in your mouth. Whoa. That was my knowledge. It's my knowledge of physics. Put that food in your mouth, Morty.
Blah, blah, blah. I have hundreds more proof, but no room to put them all, that God exists. He proved perfect and everlasting life that is free. If you accept it, everlasting life is free by repenting and obeying Jesus. But if you reject it, you have nothing! Nothing!
Wow. Okay. Just goes off on
man.
That's it. Nonsense that rant was, at the end. Right.
Yeah. And it's a little unfortunate that so much of that comedy was because clearly English is not his first language.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
But still, you know, the underlying arguments.
Yeah.
Pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we have some more time. Shall we do another?
Do we?
More mail.
David in Kentucky says, I just wanted to chime in on the D&D atheist character discussion.
You know, we never get tired of that.
Yeah,
right. I don't know about our audience, but I could keep doing that.
As long as they keep sending us letters, somebody out there is still interested.
That's right.
I had a character who was an atheist in the vein of the Athar faction from the Planescape setting.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Nobody at this table knows what that is.
All right.
You might think that I do because of my old-time connection with D&D. Just to clarify, I do not I'm not a D&D player these days.
I started playing Planescape Torment on the PC like 15 years ago and then was so bored.
So you're the expert.
No.
he denied the divinity of the gods, likening them to simply powerful beings such as mighty wizards or demons. He believed not only that they were not worthy of human devotion, but that they, in fact, fed on human devotion and needed to be cast off to improve the lot of humanity. Yeah, this sounds like the
that's good.
The blasphemous accelerators from the Tekemel setting that I was talking about. Keeping up with I had an interesting build for him, too, setting up as a dual character. Excuse me, we're not getting into D&D mechanics. Keeping up with his theme, his divine casting came from taking the priest class, which steals divine magic from the gods. All right, dude.
Cool. Yeah.
You're nerding out on D&D. that's
too nerdy for
Jeff. We're interested in the in role playing in general, not the specific mechanics of a particular game.
Yeah.
That's only going to be interested in people who are specifically interested.
We're interested also in philosophically relating stuff back to like reality or what people believe, but I don't know.
Oh my God. And then he goes on to the attempted to run a game where they were gods built in Pathfinder, which is like legendarily the most complicated game going now. All right. Well, thank you very much, David. Moving on along, Andrea.
I don't know if you mean it.
Andrea from Hungary writes, I've been meaning to write this letter ever since Russell mentioned his volunteer work, and you talked about how religious people tend to monopolize being charitable.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that. It's been a while, but yeah. We all know that atheists are just as altruistic as anyone else, but not everyone has the time or opportunity to help. I thought I'd offer an alternative to those who have the money, but not the time, and want to help people in need, but don't want their money to be lost in some charity scam. Kiva is a nonprofit organization which gives microloans directly to people in need, and since it's a loan, not charity, they pay you back so you can loan the same money again to other people. Hmm. These are people who are trying to help themselves and work hard, so the money is usually for their business or farmland. My loans went so far went to opening a restaurant in Colombia, new computers for an internet cafe in South Africa, land, crops, and solar lamps in Kenya, and a water filtering system in Indonesia. The usual amount to give at a time is $25. So it's affordable every once in a while. Huh. There are teams you can join. They send you recommended loans to support, and you can name your team when you give a loan so the recipient knows who helped them. I'm part of the A-plus team, atheists, agnostics, skeptics, freethinkers, secular humanists, and the non-religious. There are quite a lot of us, and the organizers are in touch with secular field partners, so we can help non-religious people directly if we want. If anyone wants to join, visit www.kiva.org and sign up. P.S. I hope you will record more shows with video. I really enjoy those.
Ah.
Well, that's up to Mark, who filmed those previous ones. It was his idea.
Also up to us if we want that.
We could be obstructionist if we wanted, but that's not quite the same thing.
Yeah.
We're not actively trying to not do that. Thank you very much, Andrea. I've heard a lot about Kiva over the years.
Yeah, check out Kiva. Yeah. Hurricane, is it Maria? Is ongoing.
Yes. Who cares? Only Katrina was a real catastrophe.
Oh, so I've heard. Right. But, I mean, the issues in Puerto Rico are still going on.
Yes.
And I was told by someone who knows things that one of the most helpful things you can do for Puerto Rico right now is donate blood. Mm-hmm. So...
Do you donate that blood by physics or by knowledge?
And blood has life in it. So
I have to take it out of my veins. That.
Donate your life. Marty, you got to donate. I got to donate your life to Puerto Rico.
Right.
Marty.
But seriously.
Sorry, don't worry. I'll get another Marty from the next dimension over.
Look into donating blood.
Yeah.
And Kiva. Yeah. Look into Kiva.
Sure.
Yeah.
All righty. That's down to you, Russell.
Is it?
Yeah, last 8 minutes. Can you do a thing?
Oh, no. I don't know if I can fill 8 minutes. we have what's going on? Mormons.
Mormons?
Who submitted this?
Mormons. I don't know why that jogged my memory.
I'm looking for somebody to credit, but it's too much to do right now. So, okay. According
this will be our
to
second Mormon story, this is not a Russian Mormon story
today.
Yeah, we did Mormons in Russia. Remember one of my early letters
from a male.
Yeah,
yeah. According to the UK Independent, Mormon polygamous children in Utah town are a million times more likely to develop rare genetic disorders.
A million times?
Yeah, I don't know what this is about.
So if it's one in a million other places, it's every single one of them there.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Wait. Anyway.
Doesn't that follow? I think that does.
Possibly.
If it's one in 10 million... everywhere else, it's one in 10 there. That's what that would mean.
A polygamous Mormon community in Utah is facing what has been labeled a genetic disaster.
Oh, boy.
Children born into the remote Utah community of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are a million times more likely than the average person to develop a rare debilitating genetic disorder, the BBC reports. Doctors wow. claim they have discovered 20 cases of the disorder, which can cause seizures, facial deformities, and severe brain damage in the Utah FLDS. So I'm looking for a cause. The FLDS community was founded in the 1930s after both the Mormon Church and the state of Utah outlawed taking multiple wives. Now researchers know that either Mr. Jessup or his first wife, I think what they're getting at is there's a lot of inbreeding in this town, yeah. maybe. 75 to 80% of people in Short Creek are related to two of the community's founders, Joseph Jessup and John Barlow. and researchers know, it says, that either Mr. Jessup or his first wife, Martha Yates, carried a gene for fumarase deficiency, an inherited metabolic disorder that attacks the nervous system, often with debilitating effects.
I'm sure I've heard this story before. Can you check the date on this?
August 3rd, 2017.
Okay. All right. So they were covering it then. But I know I've heard the story in past years. Okay. That's not a reason not to cover it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting cautionary tale against inbreeding. And I believe the religious angle would be that
this religion spoils
everything.
Yeah.
Well, it can. It can encourage all kinds of things that you might want to think twice about.
Right. Let's see. According to former community member Isaac Weiler, the Short Creek residents are devoted caretakers to those affected by the disease, largely because of their religious faith. They would just assume they've been given a test and they need to pass the test, and it's their lot in life to take care of a child like this, Mr. Weiler told the Deseret News. But officials say this same devotion is what's keeping the residents of Short Creek from addressing the crisis.
Right.
That's about it.
And that is an absolutely horrible rationale.
Yeah. Right. There's actual solutions, and then there's religious
thoughts and prayers.
Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We're winding down for the last couple of minutes here. Anybody else got any? Any comments?
I got nothing.
Not really?
Anyone else vis a comment?
All right.
No?
No.
All right, Dennis.
Thank you all the people, as usual, who submitted comments on Facebook this morning when I asked for them, and with hashtag nonprofits news all week.
And to our letter writers.
Yeah.
You don't always get handled with kid gloves once your letter is in, but we do appreciate that.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, also, I was told last week that we are retiring our Ustream.tv channels and exclusively broadcasting on YouTube. So, never mind. But maybe we should do that anyway. I don't know.
You're scaring everyone.
Uh-oh. Sorry.
Why don't you wait until it's been decided before you scare them? Bye, everybody.
Should I take us out?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Could you face me, please? The nonprofits will hear your case in 2 weeks on the 18th of October. Now, turn to the side. Thank you. Until that time, you will be remanded to Brian Stieksma and his song, I Am the Satellite. Hey there, brother, don't you know the guy upstairs left us years ago? So there ain't no fate except the one you make. And there ain't no hell except the shit you take every day. Don't tell me life doesn't hurt, and that you don't need the people, cause you've got your church. You gotta take your head out of the sky, because there ain't nothing there.